Hey, Viking fans, we have a great episode for you guys tonight. It's season 5, episode 5, The Prisoner.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Everybody, hello. We're back again with the Vikings. I'm in the big camera. Hey, everybody, how's it going tonight? We are here to detain you. James is not here today, but we've got us and we've got Steve.
Yep.
And we've got myself, where you guys can find me on Twitter at Yaku Vinings. That's on Instagram and on, like I said, Twitter.
Yeah.
It's so nice I said it twice.
Yeah. And you're just making sure people know.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you happen to like wine, you know, check out the Grape Escape TV. It's my brand, all about wine.
Nice.
I'm still waiting for you to bring wine here.
Ah, shit, I need to do that.
We talked about this last season. We're like, yeah. So you gotta bring wine. Because when they went to England, they gotta try some wine. Nice. Oh, no, France, too, they had it. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And we talked about it last week, but again, thank you so much for leaving comments behind on the video, because we do air this live, and we have a live chat. But if you can't watch it live, which is totally cool, comment down below, and it's fun to read your comments and reply. We just haven't gotten to it yet.
Bam, bam.
Boom, boom.
Hey, everybody, I'm Al Gregg, back for a second week. I got to say thank you to my co-hosts, Yaku, Carrie. Shout out to James, who's not here, and Steve up in the booth.
What up, what up?
Hey, hey, hey. So you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jamaica House Doc.
Jamaica House Doc.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Jamaica.
That is good. Now, guys, listen, tonight we can, you guys can actually, I'm in the big camera right here, Steve. And Steve, you want to say hi to everybody? You have to.
Hey.
Hey,
what
Steve.
Up, Steve?
So you guys can actually call in to us tonight if you want to discuss the episode. It was an amazing...
Oh, so good.
Mother...
So many things to talk about.
Episode, right? It was such a good episode. So many things to talk about. So the number... Write this down, okay? The number you guys can call us on... I'm going to look at the screen up there. Is 424-256-1633. Gary, do you want to do it in American? Just like so they can understand.
I was going to say one more time in case you didn't write that down fast enough. It's 424-256-1633.
And Steve, if they call, is there anything they need to do?
Just know that they are live.
Just know that you are live. And so you can say whatever you want. Yes.
Ish.
Guys, what a great episode tonight.
Yes.
What an amazing episode. Thank you, Michael Hirst, for this really, really good episode.
So many things.
There is 3 storylines. So sometimes we talk chronologically. Sometimes we break it down in storylines.
Yep.
Today we're going to do it in storylines. We've got a big York storyline. A teeny tiny Africa one and then a Kattegat one. So let's start with the Africa storyline.
All right.
Back to Africa.
So what's happening there? These guys, Vikings, seeing sand for the first time in their life.
You know, sometimes it's cliche in movies and shows when someone's like, oh my gosh, it's a thing I've never seen before. But I think I almost would have wanted that moment where they're like, there's sand everywhere or just some kind of reaction to camels. Because I've never seen either of those things. So.
I mean, literally, as far as I can see sand.
Yeah. Like ocean, yeah, they get that. Then they're like, wait, what?
A sea of sand.
Yeah,
ocean of sand.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean...
But that's okay.
That's okay. I think Michael Hirst
made up... They fast-forward it.
Yeah, Michael Hirst made up for it with some other really, really funny scenes, but I...
And new experiences.
And new experiences. Like, really, really, like, hey, I'm talking to you guys in this camera. Like, yeah. I think that was one of the funniest things I've seen in Vikings in the 5 seasons so far.
That look was certifiable.
That conversation.
So this whole storyline in Africa is basically... Yeah. It had a real comedic tone to it, which I think was good. It was a good change. Michael Hirst keeping the script and the writing fresh and new, right? You guys don't agree, obviously.
No, agree.
I was saying, and then I was looking for a chat room to see what our viewers thought, too.
It kept me off my, not on my toes. I guess it kept me on my toes because I felt like I was off my toes the whole time. Just another curveball every other scene.
Every other scene.
Well, we had a lot of our predictions essentially answered, too. And some of us were pretty spot on, so...
Yes. So I guess the next prediction.
Ding.
I was like,
about the sewer. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Sewer. Well, with the Africa, we all thought like she wants to go for a reason.
She wants to go for a reason because if you just
it's
look
her
at this,
lover.
Yeah, it's a lover number one and number two. I think she's the main bitch in charge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I
really think so.
HBIC.
So her
head
name.
Bitch in charge.
Yeah. So her name is Kasia. Now it's very fun. I just want to start off by saying I think it's hilarious that these guys are all sunburned.
I noticed that last week too. I'm like, dude, they're totally sunburned.
They're totally sunburned. You mentioned it, but this time it was actually like, it's hilarious. It's confirmed. These guys have not seen this kind of sun ever. I'm telling you, the Africa sun.
Mm-hmm. It's different.
It's different. It's hot. Yeah. It's warm. It gets you. It really gets you.
Back on the Cassia thing, you talk about her just being a boss. Here's the thing, though, I'm confused about slightly, is that she's supposed to be, they almost made it like she was a nun or like a woman of God. And I have no problem with nuns getting their swerve on or whatever, but that relationship, I was wondering like how deep it was going to go. And it sounds like they're already there, like, madly in love, all that. I'm just curious on you guys' take on that. With the
Nun thing was all a lie.
That was a lie?
Be like, bam. No, you can't touch her because she's a nun.
See, thinking like a woman. See.
I'm all, see, this I easiest like way to yeah. like, oh yeah, you can't, sorry, bro. I'm a nun. Mm. And then I didn't necessarily think like the dude that we're going to meet would be like her lover, but I'm not surprised at all because she's like, I really want to go.
You
I need
promised.
To go back.
You promised me. So let's look at this whole storyline. So Emuthius is the commander. They were visiting Ymir, which is the guy we saw in this episode.
Yeah.
And Ymir is still not the emperor. That is Zedit Allah of North Africa, wherever they are.
Yeah. Who we still haven't seen, right?
We haven't seen this guy yet. So now Ymir is kind of like maybe just underneath the emperor, but they're not, you know, it's like a hierarchy situation that we're figuring out. But now at some point, which I'm a little bit confused about, and maybe you guys can help us out in the comments, or throw that up there, and you guys keep an eye on the comments, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The commander is escaping. He's running away, and then he's being caught, and then he's being served as dinner. So that whole thing kind of...
I was driving my co-host crazy because I was like, wait, did you guys see that? What's going on? Did he really do that? And I know we're supposed to save our energy for the show, but I couldn't help myself. I was like, did Halfdan, did he blow it by saying that, basically implying that Ephemius might be an enemy of Ymir? Like, he just blurted that out. Do you think that's where it all started?
I think he said the enemy of someone else. I didn't necessarily think it was the parties involved, like between them two.
Mm.
I thought it was Ymir and then somebody else.
Okay.
But it was definitely the most awkward moment that we all were like, oh, something was said that shouldn't be said.
And
it
now
was
he's being eaten.
Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys have played The Walking Dead, like the first game on Steam. There's a bit on like eating people, and that's all I thought about when I was watching the scene. Don't do it!
So that saying in essence is that he tried to screw over the Ymir. Ymir killed him, which is still not the top guy. So this whole storyline, there's not much happening.
Also, Cassia was like, when Ymir tells her, he's like, I've taken care of everything. We're both free. And I did it how you wanted.
Mm.
That was like, oh.
Or how she let him think that's how he wanted. But it's really
true.
How she wanted.
Yeah, that was her plan.
So I'm going to throw it back to you guys in the comments here. Dimitri is saying that Bjorn needs to get his butt back to Kattegat. And Africa is hostile. Yeah, it's dangerous. And then big gaming is saying, mm-hmm. Let's talk about Ivar. We'll talk about Ivar in a second. We're just doing short storylines.
Actually, that's a good question. Dimitri in the chat says, it doesn't make sense why Cassia wants Halfdan and Bjorn dead. That threw me off. That is a good question of, like, why... What is her... her motivation...
Are you serious, Dimitri? You guys are... This is 1100s. Like, you look at me weird and I'm going to chop your head off. The one guy got... The guy escaped, apparently, and three people died for it. Like... I don't think you need much to die in this era.
But they didn't do anything necessarily directly to her or Ymir.
They're a foreign hostile force.
You're guilty by association.
Yeah, well, not even that. They're just Vikings in the middle of Africa somewhere. And you're so far off your comfort zone, you shouldn't be there, and you're a threat.
And they were on the side of Ephemius. They're his guards or whatever. So.
True.
But they'll be smart enough to know that these guys are just being taken there. Even she knows that Bjorn was just taken to... Them.
Well, I guess there's no reason for her to keep them around, too. Exactly. Like, why bother?
Exactly. So just
complicating things.
Yeah.
So just kill them. Okay. Extra mouth to feed, extra somebody else is drinking the water. Yeah. We're in the desert, so, you know.
Resources,
exactly. Sure. So now, this brings us to the funny episode. I think it's at least worth just mentioning.
Dimitri doesn't buy that. It is a little thin. I do agree, Dimitri, that I'm like, I want the motivation to have been displayed a little more clearly. Because it was a little bit more like, all right, we're just going to kill them. Like, I wanted something more like them to have done something or her to have said it. Oh, Larae great observation. Perhaps the explanation is still coming next week. Good point. To come. Maybe later their guide is going to be like, hey, guys, this is what went down.
Yes, exactly.
That would make sense.
Well, we need to see the next episode also whose head got chopped off, because that definitely happened as well. Let's really quickly, Steve, throw the number up there as well. Dimitri, if you can, I want you to give us a call so we can get your point of view. I think it would be amazing to get that. I think it's 424. Itty bitty bitty bitty. I don't know the rest.
We'll
give you the number in a second as soon as Steve throws it up there. And we're passing this whole scene where you know. So first of all, they get the slaves. Jumping back a bit, Bjorn and Halfdan both get a slave to enjoy
they're
themselves.
Ladies
with.
For the night.
Exactly. Now,
well, at least one of them was.
At least one of them was lady of the night.
Quote unquote ladies.
So I want to know your reaction in the audience. You guys, are the sixth host, right? What did you guys think immediately? Is it a man?
It's a man, baby. As soon as I got that look when he grabbed the crotch, I was like, okay.
I felt it was someone in between.
In between.
Because this would be before surgery. So, I mean, there are many politically correct and incorrect ways to say it. So I'm just going to say it was somebody who possibly has both genitalia of some sort. Because, this is long.
Aphrodite, yep.
Suffice it to say, Halfdan probably needed a few more drinks, you know, to be ready for that.
Well, that's the next question, because we all were like, oh. But then it's like, well, like his conversation with Bjorn,
conversation,
that good?
He didn't mind that.
Next subject.
Ariane says, I made the same face as Halfdan when I saw the scene. Well, because he didn't freak out. He didn't go like, get out of my bed, you're gross.
It was just like something new.
Oh, okay.
Which is how it should be. It's 2017. Okay? So,
but then Bjorn was totally cool with it. Like, they're the next morning. Like, hey, dude, how was it? Well, was that okay?
Yeah, it was a man. Well, like I said, how was it, fool?
And he didn't, he's like, is that something you want? But he didn't say no, he just changed the subject, so I don't know. And then I brought up, I'm like, have we seen Halfdan with ladies much before?
Does he know what he's feeling?
Well, that's true. Maybe this was something he wasn't quite expecting, so he's not sure
not
about
expecting.
How
exactly.
he feels about it.
He's still processing.
But it was so fun to watch.
It's so processing. It's a great storyline and a great piece of comedy.
Yes.
Thank you, Leray. In the comments, 424-256-1633. Give us a call right now if you want to voice your point of view, if you want to have a chat with us. We would absolutely love to hear from you. I think that wraps up the Africa storyline. Okay, so let's move on to Kattegat. Another interesting... Yes, so look at me. What happened to this page? Another interesting... The whole storyline in Kattegat revolving around Floki returning now from Iceland.
Yes.
And he's back. He's ready to recruit his disciples, his army. And he wants to take them back to Iceland. What do you guys think?
I think everybody drank the Kool-Aid. I think he should go. I think it was presumptuous, though, of Legatha to be like, you're going to take all my best people.
Base people. By the way, Moa's prediction last week, she's going to come back and obviously take all the people. That's the issue for the war coming. Like, I foresaw that.
Yeah, but like, Dimitri says, Floki is playing a dangerous game, but is intriguing. Yeah, but the thing is, it's not like he said, I need the best people. What if the old people and like... You know,
everybody there is a resource that
go.
Fights.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he wanted the most inspired religious people. But you know what that brings me? I mean, obviously, religion has always been a theme, you know?
Yeah.
You have the Christians and you have the Vikings who worship Odin, but they were real heavy on that. We have all these different crusaders, like the bishop, he's just a hardcore crusader, set in his ways. Floki, you know, reborn crusader.
He is the Vikings bishop, basically.
Yeah.
But you know who surprised me with this flexibility was Ivar. He's like, well, you know, maybe you heard some wrong things about my religion, heard some wrong things about yours. So I kind of like that. I want to see Ivar be a bit more cunning and sophisticated, and I like that.
I like that as well, and it really reminds me of Ragnar. Ragnar was also
Bingo.
Open, and Ragnar was basically half Christian at the end. Like
pretty much,
not, you know, I mean, it was like up
he
in the air.
He was fluid
there.
In his religious choices.
Yes.
It's all about fluidity.
Just like his preferences of people.
Exactly.
For intimate things.
For very intimate things, because we saw those first four seasons.
You know.
No, listen, so Lagerfra is making a power move here. She is queen of the castle.
Mm-hmm.
She's telling him, listen, you forbid it. I can't. Mm. You can't take my people because of the war coming, which is a very... Very good point, I think.
Let me chime in here, too, I think. And I'm always looking at the different styles of leadership. You know, surprising me, again, with his subtlety and his nuance, Vitserk. like when he's trying to advise Ivar, okay, maybe take him as a prisoner instead. I thought Lagertha was going to be a bit more diplomatic as opposed to, I forbid you, maybe like, okay, Floki, I really can't spare any people, but maybe take like three, that. Four, or five as like a compromise versus like, you know, this this hard just contrast, which is obviously going to drive a wedge between them.
Yes, and I would think so with their history. But then again, when he brought up religion, she really had that, like, I'm going to pull out a grudge I've had. So she's like, yeah, not religious enough like me. Not religious enough like Ragnar. Like,
but Floki has always been carrying himself on a pedestal as God's talking to himself. He killed Æthelstan because of the gods. He's saying the gods told me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Dimitri saying Floki is playing a dangerous game, but it's intriguing, which is very true. It's very intriguing. And Adriadne is saying, I was expecting Floki to make the deal we saw Harold gave Ivar in the promo. I was expecting Floki to make the deal we saw Harold give Ivar in the promo.
Did we
see the promo? We didn't see the promo.
I don't remember
the
promo.
Unfortunately, everybody, we watch it at a different time, and they do the promo during the next show, and we don't have time to watch
and
it.
And we're here with you talking.
We don't know.
So sorry about that, guys.
Makes our predictions more pure.
Yes. So, okay, so these guys are basically saying, Floki is talking to Uben. They're saying, like, listen, Ubi is coming in. He's kind of like, not kiss-assing, but he's asking for guidance.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, me and Ivar eventually are going to have a war. And tell me about this promised land. So at first I thought that he wants to go with.
Hmm.
Maybe. I want to know what makes all the people who are going so upset that they want to leave Katakut. Because none of them have really been like, dude, it sucks here. We're not succeeding. Like, nobody said, I mean, besides if they're super religious and they don't feel they're getting that there.
What do you think?
I want a little bit more of why they're all like, I want to leave.
That was the first thing I thought of. And I'm wondering, hopefully that'll be revealed later about Lagertha's ruling style and like why people are upset. But I thought the same thing. There's something going on there, or they need to justify this. Hopefully they will.
Well, yeah. It's a view for me that Lagertha is starting to lose power because
basically
I think so, because she's being a hard ass. She's not thinking stuff through.
Not compromising.
But she's not compromising. But then on the other hand, she is trying to win a war which is coming her way. So she is pulling every last resource she can, which also makes sense to me. But the whole woman, the last few episodes, and you guys have said that in the comments, it looks like she's losing power.
Also, I don't know if anybody noticed, they had this really wide shot of Katakut and how large it's grown. It's maybe people who are just like, it's not how it was, so they don't want to be there anymore. They'd rather the smaller town it used to be.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and there's some people who obviously still want to farm instead of always being about war.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about the Vikings.
Yeah.
It is a port town
as well, guys.
Wait, what's
that?
It is a port town.
Yeah.
It is a port town. They make money in trade. And Ragnar, he was a farmer right before he became the ruler.
Yeah. Yeah,
so maybe the simple people
want
to
balance.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's simple people, or maybe these people are just really irreligious and they really feel like they are special.
Danny in the chat kind of agrees that I think it's more of the town changing. Because, yeah, it's probably changed from how it was when it started. And then Ariadne points out, obviously, Marguerite wasn't far off from last week. That, Lagertha's probably losing some ground.
Some ground as well.
But maybe it's one of those, since it is bigger, they need to have not only Lagertha in charge, they need like a second level of ruling, you know, like...
like commanders or something that helps out.
Some kind
something
of council, right?
As opposed to just
like which, the one authority. Which I'm not sure if it worked like that in that days, especially for that race or Vikings or whatnot.
But it's one of those, it's so big now. Maybe they need more delegation.
Exactly, and it's such an important town. Now, Floki is, you know, he's raising his army. He's meeting with secretly, even after he said, he didn't say he wasn't going to do it. But now he's meeting with these people in the woods, and he's basically meeting with them in the shed and saying, listen, we're going to go. But please don't make it obvious, because we all die. You will die. You will die.
Which I thought was Floki.
Come on, they were drinking the Kool-Aid.
They're literally drinking the Kool-Aid.
Literally drinking the Kool-Aid.
And obviously Floki, like when he gets on one, you know, he just goes to the 10th degree. I think we're going to have some casualties with that crew that who's trying to sneak off with him.
Yeah. Now, well, someone was pointing out that, sorry, I lost the name, but it was pointing out Floki is just so charismatic that people will follow him. Because he is such a hardcore believer that it'd be easy to be like, okay.
Where's our Floki chime? Floki chime. Where's Steve? Steve, our Floki chime. Oh, he's bringing it. Now, so guys, Floki is leaving. He's building boats in 9 days. There you go.
We are.
Thank you, Floki.
Hey,
speaking
delayed.
Of, Speaking of Floki, so he's building boats apparently in 9 days for these guys to all now go back to Iceland. He's an amazing boat builder.
Hopefully he remembers how to get there.
Well, the first question is, I guess, how did he get back?
You have to do it on faith.
Gods will guide me.
Well, you know, the guys brought him back. Yeah. And the gods took him there. So hopefully he'll be back. So these guys are basically saying high risk, high reward if they make it back.
That's a good point.
And that wraps up the Kattegat storyline, which... Yep. Big Cam Gaming, we are getting to Ivar right now in the York storyline. Okay, we got you.
Well, I want to, before the comment goes away, Big Cam Gaming says, it's funny how Ivar and Bishop are Ragnar and, I think it was Athelstan 2.0.
Yeah.
Yes, but no. Not enough. They do not have enough charisma the same way. But I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Dimitri is saying Hitman will think the Vikings are heathens until he sees a Viking
fair-haired maiden. He's like, you know what? I've changed my mind.
Dimitri, you think the Vikings are pretty? Oh.
Maybe Haman's gonna hit. Torvi's gonna be too lonely, and he'll be like, "Hey,
why don't you come over to this side?"
Yes.
So York. All right. Yes. Let's start this off. This is how the episode started and basically ended. It's a big storyline. We've got about 15 minutes to talk about this. Once again, if you want to call, give us a call. And I lost the number again, but I'm going to tell you right now,
424-256-1633.
Also, make sure, remember, if you guys leave us comments in the live chat, that is amazing because you're talking to us. You can also call us. But also afterwards, make sure to give the actual video a comment and a like just so it ranks higher and so we can join and grow this big Vikings fan base.
Where every other
fan
word is
family.
Shield wall. Skull. I'm basically fluid.
Dimitri goes, North. Yes, you know Torvi is lonely.
Yeah. You would say that, Dimitri. You would say that.
I just was that when you said someone was fair haired maiden, we brought that up. I was just thinking of it when they showed her close up. I'm like, dude, how often do they rebleach that hair? Because it's right there on the roots. I just noticed because I did my hair recently. So I'm like, how much you have to really get that?
Yeah, I'd really have to get in there and keep with the character.
But how long is a sister supposed to be lonely? You know, how long is she supposed to go without? You know,
that's what Dimitri is saying.
She loves, you know, Bjorn.
Yeah.
So let's start this York thing off and let's give the Viking fans what they want to talk about.
Fighting.
Fighting and rats. And so these Vikings are in a very sophisticated sewer system. And I think that is what Ivar was talking about when we spoke to him earlier. The Romans were amazing and they built poop tunnels, basically, which looked very modern to me. Old but modern. Those bricks were perfect.
Well, we talked about that, and I think a couple of us were thinking it might be an underground sewer system something, because they were like, how are the rats here? Though it was an interesting cut, because they had the last episode ending with them going to the church, and they're like, why are the rats above ground? And then they're in another spot in the town, and then they go, hey, the rats are above ground. And I'll be honest, at the very beginning, I thought the Viking plan was actually not that great, because how long it took them to get up out of the ground,
that would have
been so easy
part.
To be like, boom, 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 kick them back down. But later, when they have the people running out and then the Vikings get up in front of them, I was like, all right, now your plan is really good because you're there before they get there.
They're there before they get there and you're in the middle of them and it's confusion.
Yeah.
Like you're standing, nobody knows what's going on. If they told me that plan, that would be the plan, I would just say nay. Because you have to get out of that little hole. Literally, all you have to do is just control the hole, and then this whole attack is...
I mean, you get a couple moments of surprise, but as soon as they realize what's going on...
Like, it takes one person to get killed and then shot it. But the thing that bothers me about this whole scene is York is a big, big town. I mean, you can see it from the story. And so, don't tell me, especially if they were talking about the rats in the previous episode... That why is the rats up above ground? That they didn't know that massive sewer system is there, or that big grates or grits in the ground leads to a sewer system.
Yeah, they're Europeans. They should have figured that out, possibly.
They built it.
Yeah.
Well, basically.
That's not there.
So maybe the Romans built it, they didn't know about it, which I don't believe.
Yeah.
Because they're walking over the grits every single day.
Arne says, I guess he was pretty confident that the Saxons would 100% believe they were gone or dead. Yeah, it was just one of those. They got out of the hole, out of the underground pretty quickly, so it was all right. And it also feels like the Vikings are better at more like crazy close quarters combat compared to the Saxons, who are a bit more awkward in the alleys. It was just too tight for them. They couldn't fight well.
The Saxons are famous for being longbowmen, and so they were fighting. Arrows is their game. That's how they kill.
The Vikings in this use some good bow and arrow skills.
And that's the first people they send out of the rat holes is to kind of just... you know, take a few, snipe a few people.
And that hammer.
The cannon fodder. Oh, a couple of hammers were like,
oh, that hammer. In. Oh, so cool. So good.
That guy's head. So cool. Smashing in. Yes. So cool.
Yeah. Actually, I think the most disturbing death thing in this almost was the girl getting trampled by the horse.
Oh, my goodness.
There is some...
I don't know why, but that one was really, like,
ruthless, and they dragged it on. They showed, like,
Damon's step. That horsey step.
Well, look, there's some key moments here, which Michael Hurst is trying to get out to us. He wants to make you understand, watching, that you have to know that this is Vikings.
This is Vikings, yes. and the bishop... is just as ruthless.
Message received, Michael Hurst. You know? Message received. Okay.
And Dimitri points out, and I do agree, the spear attack was pretty cool. It was.
Spears!
Yeah, and Danny says, oh, that scene was amazing.
So the spears, the horse trample, both of us like...
Hold on, spears!
Step back, throat, and it's obviously practice, which is great. And so now, there's a moment before where Æthelwulf is fighting. He's doing kind of well, not really, because they're all like eating the shit. He's all right. Fighting against Witzig. If I'm making a mistake, let me know. But they had a standoff. Witzig not doing too hot. Witzig is walking around yelling instead of doing productive killing. He's not productively killing.
Agreed.
That's my problem.
A lot of
exactly. Yeah, he's just yelling. He's not really active. He just seemed like high on the fight, like just not actively doing anything. Also, if you all notice, which we talked about a little bit too, they're like, "Hey, Æthelwulf, get your son out," and then he goes, "Alfred."
Which
did you have another
song? Oh wait, the other one.
Æthelred is standing in the background. You, oh okay. Yeah. Æthelred is the other son, which we were struggling to remember the parents from. But there's so many inbreeding at this point.
And I don't want to get ahead of you, man. But like, shout out to Ivar giving the bishop, you know, his props. Like, this is a warrior. No, we'll give you a horse, and we'll see how far you get.
Well, it's a war, but no, you're spot on, Al. This is a war, but this is also him saying, this guy is a real warrior. He needs to be able to fight on a horse. But it's crazy for me where it's like, everybody stops fighting. If I was an Englishman...
Yeah, I like that the English stop, too. They go, okay.
Please.
Everybody froze.
They're all, what? Well, at first, that shot looks like it's only Vikings surrounding Haman. Because then you're like, ah, shit.
Yes.
Like, there's no way he could win. Well, but then the next shot later has the Saxons, and then you kind of go, where'd they come from? Where were they hiding?
Exactly. They were there next to him, I guess.
Little cheat of camera.
A little bit. They were like... to the side of camera. They're like, surprise,
we're
over
just
here.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
But eventually it all ends up where they get caught because they are overwhelmed. The plan worked. The plan was very successful. Yeah. And these guys are capturing Haemund and probably just killing the rest.
I just like that the rest of the Vikings figure out, like, no, let's not kill this one. Mm.
Well, at this point, I think they know Hitman. I think he's special. I think everybody knows him at this point. Guys, if you want to call in 424-256-1633, don't be scared. Just give us a call. It's really fun. We would love to hear your voice.
I feel like
you're
a telethon. You're like, give us a call.
And by the way, donate $25. No, I'm kidding. Don't give any money. All right, so that wraps up the beginning there where the fighting is happening, a bloody scene.
Good fight.
Very good fight. Thank you, Michael Hurst. Keeping it fresh, keeping it exciting. Yes. The hammer, like you guys said, was amazing. The trampling. It almost reminds me of that gold pouring in the mouth scene, like the same level.
A couple of good moments last couple of weeks.
Let's just go back to trampling. I wish James was here. Like that really happened back in the day.
Oh yeah. Mm. Well, depending on what got hit first depends on how much I think she would feel it. Because if it got her head first or something, then maybe hopefully she wouldn't.
And
be
along
aware.
Those lines about how far to go in war, I still feel conflicted whenever somebody shoots a horse. Like, is that sportsman?
Don't
is that sportsmanship?
Kill a horse,
is that playing fair?
No, it's not
I don't know.
Fair.
But
so Danny Yeter is saying, I was kind of happy to see Ivar not completely disrespecting. Mm-hmm. Witzig, which is, I agree with you, Danny. I think it's amazing. But then we'll get to the next point almost, where he's basically telling him, I think we should go back to Kattegat, making sure that we take control of the situation there before Uba is crowned king. And what I think we should do is we should kill Uba and crown you king before Bjorn comes back.
And he's like, in our big home base. And
which is very crafty, and that's one way to go. But to me, that plan, tell me what you guys think, is that he's kind of appealing to Ivar's ego much that I...
Fluffing that fan, that ego.
Yeah.
Which, Al, tell me.
Danny says, do you think Witzig is being honest with this
That's
plan?
That's what we're talking about, yeah.
Oh, we got a caller.
We got a call.
Amazing. Who do we have? Hello.
Hey, this is Dimitri.
Dimitri! Hello. Hi, man. What's up? Thanks
Dimitri,
for calling in.
Welcome. Skol.
Skol. Hey, that was Steve. Hey, Dimitri, where are you calling from, my friend?
I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Sweet. Missouri. Oh, my goodness. Where is that?
St. Louis?
It's in the Midwest.
Midwest. Amazing. My wife is from the Midwest. She's from Ohio. Yeah, she's Ohioan. Tell me, Dimitri, what do you think? What do you want to talk about, my friend?
We already talked about it, but it was like two key moments in the show where it just kind of threw me like curveballs. One was like Floki having that stare down with Legatha. Mm-hmm. You know, how she's kind of trying to assert her power, saying, you know, I'm above the gods because this is my kingdom.
Right.
And I don't want you taking my people away. I thought that was kind of big of her.
Right.
And then the second one was Ivar saying, hey, Haman, we're taking you home, brother.
Oh, yeah, we're getting there.
I did not see that coming at all.
Does that remind you a little bit of them taking Athelstan home right in the beginning, uh-huh, season one?
It did remind me of that,
Dimitri, what do you think is the reasoning behind that? What are they going to do with him back at home, Kattegat or wherever they're going?
I think...
You know, I really don't know what crazy Ivar has in store for him. Maybe he will persuade him to be a Viking. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes, is that your prediction, Dimitri?
I think we'd have to go with that at this point.
I love it, dude. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
We love you, Dimitri.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys. You guys do such a great job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Guys, if you want to call in, the number is up there, 424, and I forgot the number again, but Dimitri just called.
256-1633. Oh, we got another one?
Yeah.
Woo!
Who's that? Who's calling in? Hello? No.
Big Cam Gaming says, honestly, I thought they Blood Eagle him. Ooh.
That's a very
good... But you know what?
Very good,
Ivar Gamer. Is so much about the psychological. I think he would enjoy it more if he made Haman become a heathen.
Yeah, like, he wants to corrupt
that
him.
That would be, like, the most... Like, he would break him.
And here's my thing where I think it was kind of a misdirect. Because when the bishop was like, I can save your soul, I think immediately he's like, no, I can turn you around.
Yeah. Oh, Ivar's going to be like, yes.
What I think, my prediction, early prediction, I think they're taking him home. I think Ivar is taking him home because he calls a shot, number one. Number two, I think he wants to learn from him everything that he can because he wants to conquer England. And this guy is a noble warrior. So if he can learn anything he can from him to actually achieve his end goal of obliterating England, he's going to do it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So let's get back to the storyline. You've got about 5 minutes to call in, guys. 424-256-1633.
Lorraine has a slightly more nice prediction of Haman is going to learn to respect pagans more and take that info back home later.
Just like
Athelstan. I think that sounds so like nice, though. But I hope so. I actually hope that Haman gets his eyes opened a bit more of like, oh, okay, maybe you guys... Like, same thing like Athelstan of like, oh, I was kind of wrong.
And Ragnar.
Yeah.
And at the very least, you could at least parlay with the enemy. It doesn't always have to be about fighting to the death.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these guys' ego is like right at the extreme ends of the scale here. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the Saxon camp. So the Saxon camp is, real quick, it's a field hospital. Reminds me of the Civil War. We've got tens of people bleeding, like stitching up.
All that needle, man, with Judith.
Oh, my goodness. That thing could puncture your heart. We've got a call coming in, it looks like.
Yay.
Do we have a call coming in?
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Dan the Jeter.
Danny, what's up, dude? Where are you calling from?
From Washington, D.C.
Washington? What? Woo-hoo! Oh, my goodness.
That's... Up late. Yay.
What time is it over there?
Yeah, okay. Well, first, it's midnight here.
All right.
Thank you for staying up.
I just wanted to say I subscribed to you guys after watching your Vikings episode. So this is basically all I thought that you guys were doing. So I just was scrolling through your videos and really liked the show.
Amazing.
Thank you so
much.
Well,
welcome. You're
awesome.
Part of the Shield Wall. Tell me, Dan, what do you think? Why are they taking...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
I wanted to just reply with, I think Larray just said, I think that Haman and Ivar will bond over, like, they have different religions, obviously, but their devotion, like, the devotion of the Vikings to their religion and his devotion, I think he'll probably start to respect that.
And what do you think is the reasoning for that? What are they going to learn from each other?
I mean, I think they're just doing, like, the parallels between when Althusser came back, they're just doing, like, they're showing, you know, in each different son, they show different things that connects them to Ragnar. And this is something that his curiosity about this guy, he's a great warrior, he's very devout in his religion, and I just want to see how deep it goes.
What do you
think? The first night that Althusser came, he was like, you want to join our threesome? You know, like, yeah, you want to do this? And he just wanted to tempt them. So I think that's something that Ivar is trying to do.
What do you think about Big Gaming's comment saying, honestly, I think they would Blood Eagle him? Do you think that's going to happen?
Oh, I thought that soon when he said you're coming back, and I was like, are we going to see another Blood Eagle? And I'm thinking, who did the Blood Eagle last time? Wasn't it...
It was King Haraldsson, and then the King Ayla was this, the last one that got Blood Eagled.
Oh, no, I'm saying who performed it.
Oh, I see.
Who performed it. It was Bjorn, so he probably, you know, heard about it and was like, yeah, I'm going to do that too.
I like that. Danny, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for watching and staying up so late over there in Washington, D.C.
Thank
we appreciate
you guys.
It.
Thank you, guys. Great
thank
show.
Thank you, Danny. Skål.
Skål. That's about it for the callers. I think we've got about 7 minutes left, which we have to get through this last episode and get some predictions going.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Before we get to predictions, maybe it's kind of a prediction. Chiming in on what the last caller said about, we've been talking about all night about the parallels between Æthelstan and now maybe the bishop is kind of filling that role. But again, the theme of religion and tolerating and learning about the other side, because the same thing's going on in Africa. With Bjorn and with Havdead, they're getting introduced to the other side.
We recognize other prophets.
Yeah. But what about Odin? But what about our guy? But what about Allah? But, you know, everybody's, you know, this is what I love about how cultures adopt and interact with each other. It's interesting.
And it's interesting that Michael Hirst is writing all of this.
Bam.
He's clever, right? Uh-huh. It's fresh writing. And this thing in season 5 is it's hitting highs. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
The season is going, and the Ragnar being killed off, like, I love it. It's good.
Leray points out a quote I really like, too, towards the end, that when Ivar asked Haman after he was done praying on the boat that if he thought his current situation was part of the journey or the end of it. And that, like, was that part of the plan kind of idea? I really like that moment because that's a very good question. Because so you could say, like, maybe this is God's plan for you.
Well, let us know what you guys think in the comments. Right now, start listing it for us in the comments so we can read it out. What do you guys think? Do you think it's a part of his journey? Or is it interruption of his journey going to Vikings? So we've got Judith in the camp saying, like, listen, Hedmund, where's Hedmund? Parlaying back to a few episodes ago, I think she still wants that.
I know, she asked wants so quickly. That. Where's
the bishop?
Yeah. Where is he? So you're okay, cool. My cousin dead, no worries. Edmund. You know, where is he? Is he dead? And so it's raining, there's death, people are dying. It doesn't look good for the Saxons.
The rain is crying for them visually.
Exactly.
Oh, God, would he take mercy on us? He's so mad.
Which, I mean, I don't want to say it's laughable, but it's always obviously exposes the critique about I have to win or I should be winning if God's on my side and I have the right guy.
Good point, Al.
We take it for granted that, or at least I take it for granted that, you know, all evolution is part of the path, to whoever God or your spirituality. But I guess this is something that I think these characters definitely need to learn or are learning.
I think they're giving too much credit to their gods. It's one of those you can take a horse water, but you can't make it drink. Well, just because God gives you, like, some good stuff, it doesn't mean you're going to win.
I'm just saying.
If you have a stupid plan, you got a stupid plan.
A stupid plan, maybe, but I'm going to say that I think Floki would disagree with you.
Scouts.
Floki will definitely... Yeah. Floki's probably calling in right now this point.
And let's talk about the tricky part, too, just about prophecy. The bishop has seen all these dreams and these visions, and he saw the rats and the bodies.
Sort of.
But it's never quite how you think it is.
Yeah, he says he sees visions. I think he's lying.
I think he's just full of it.
Yeah. Okay.
So now, look, so we're ending off this whole storyline. We've got a few minutes left. Uber is, Witzek is saying, so what we need to do is, Ivar is saying we're going to side with Fine Hair, King Fine Hair, which is interesting.
For the temporary, yeah.
We're going to temporarily side with him, so they might not even go back to Kattegat. And they are, what's the other thing? Oh, they're leaving a few people in York to this time properly fortify the place.
Yes.
So they're leaving people in York to this time hold the...
Hold it down.
So my question is, do you think, real quick, do you think they're going to be held down, or do you think what's going to happen, what happened last time?
Usually...
They're going to hold it down, because it's not going to be just farmers.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, let's get to predictions. We talk about that for a second.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Big Cam Gaming's talking about some of the trailers for later. I'm like, no, I don't want to watch them now because sometimes they do give too much away.
Yeah. I got a prediction, and yes. It's just to be kind of be of a bit of a contrarian because I believe to what you said to the extent. Because I want to see them. I want to see what's going to happen, York, if it stays in the Vikings' hands. But one of the things that keeps reoccurring in battle is playing these away games, as opposed to bunkering down, like with the land you conquered. Instead of leaving, going another place, there's always that risk of losing what you have. If it was like the Roman Empire, they got defeated because they were stretched out too thin and always trying to conquer.
Exactly. Dimitri is giving a prediction. Smart Alliance, if Ivar joins Finehair, then back and stabs Finehair in the back. You know, double crossing, which is great. I think I love that idea.
And then Lorraine says, don't trust either Ivar or Finehair. I agree.
Yeah, they all could stab each other.
I think you only trust Ivar to stay alive. Like, you play that game so they doesn't
kill
you.
Well, I don't even know about that.
Well, Fitzirk, I think, is playing that game so that Ivar won't kill him. I don't think Fitzirk has ulterior motives to take over. I don't think he wants.
That's your prediction?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think Fitzirk is going to be, wants to be ruler. Yeah. I think he's fine with Ivar doing it, but he's going to play that game so that Ivar won't kill
stroking
him.
Stroking his ego.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he's stroking his ego. I think I disagree a little bit on that. This is my prediction. I think Vitsek has been getting a lot of heat from us and the audience and the people leaving comments in the previous episodes. And so that he's not, you know, kissing ass and all that. But I think he's got a long game plan because there's no reason for him to suddenly, in the previous episode, he said, I'm not your dog. And now suddenly he's wanting to make him king. That doesn't make sense at all to me. I think York is going to fall. Because no way is Æthelwulf going to let this go. York is definitely going to fall, in my prediction. And for Bjorn, I think Bjorn is going to kill the Emperor. He's going to put it out there.
Long game.
I like that. Yep.
Okay, with the sandstorm right before they cut off.
Oh, they're totally going to get away.
Bjorn and Halfdan said, yeah, we know that it's basically a Deus Ex Machina. A Deus Ex Sand Dune Machina.
Halfdan is not dead with that. That'd be too easy.
My thing is, okay, you said that he's definitely going to kill the Emperor, the Ymir? Or they might take it as a sign, the Arabs, that this is a sign from God. Because I don't even running away into the sand. It's like, where do they go? I feel like they have
into
to be
tent?
Yeah, I feel like they have to be re-indoctrinated into the culture because they're basically screwed if they run out to the sand dunes.
Yeah, they'll die in this. That's a very good point. I like that a lot, Al. Guys, I think that's about wraps up the episode for season 5, episode 5, The Prisoner for Vikings. You guys are such good Viking fans.
Yeah.
Make sure to give us a thumbs up on this video. And make sure to also leave a comment after the live feed has done so we can kind of rank up there and we can join this. Yeah, right below. My name is Jakob Vinnings, guys. Thank you so much for watching tonight. We'll see you guys next week. Is there episode next week? No episode next week.
We will be back the week starting January 8th.
So not next week. We will not see you next week, but the week after.
For like 2 weeks off. Nope. Like two, because it's the week of Christmas and then like the first week of January.
I just want to be here and talk
to you. He's like, I'm ready to be back.
I'm ready
to
be back.
So, I think Vikings is still airing, but we are closed here for like the next 2 weeks. And yeah, we are open on the, I think it's like the 8th. I think that's the Sunday.
We'll miss you guys, though.
We miss all of you, but we will be back. But you can follow us online.
Where can they follow you?
Yeah. I'm like, that was a weird, very valid, yeah. Yes, you can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And for some of you who are new, I went to Norway over the summer and went to a Viking farm, and I posted videos about that on my YouTube.
Nice.
But you can see those on my Instagram, which is the Carrie D Lane. And I'll be just posting videos of London, and I went to the Tower of London as well.
Nice. Everybody, once again, I'm Al Gregg. Happy to be a part of the squad.
Whee!
Feel really at home.
Nice.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at JamaicaHouseDoc.
Nice, guys. Thank you so
much. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Happy
Merry Christmas.
Year.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.